Hello. Thank you for joining us for our weekly broadcast of Abiding in the Word with Dave Love, Senior Pastor of Calvary Castle Rock. We are continuing our series today called Hard Questions, Solid Answers. This is a series of questions you have asked Pastor Dave throughout his years of ministry. Today's hard question is on the topic of false teachers. What is a false teacher? Who are the false teachers today? In this teaching, you will hear some actual audio clips from various false teachers. So let's listen in now as Pastor Dave answers this hard question with a solid answer.
Okay, let's go to Matthew chapter 7. I just want to start here in verse 13 because it says, Jesus is saying this. This is on the Sermon on the Mount, and this is near the end of the Sermon on the Mount. He says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. There are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." So I believe that the broad way is going to be the most popular way, all right? It's going to be the most accepting way. I find it very interesting that there always seems to be a Broadway in every major city. And usually, on that Broadway, aren't the best things for people, all right? They are just filled with distractions and to get you off the right way and things like that. And so, the Broadway is going to be the most popular way. The Broadway is going to be the way that everyone wants to hear this. Everybody wants to do this. It's going to be the most appealing thing. And the narrow way, the narrow gate, once you go through that, from there on, it's going to be very difficult. You're going to be swimming upstream. Okay, everybody else is going to be going the other direction. You're going to be going the opposite. It's the road less traveled. It never ceases to amaze me if I talk to somebody and they just want to be this rebel. I'm just going, you are like everyone else. There's nothing you're rebelling against, okay? If you want to be a true rebel, you walk with Jesus Christ because that truly is going the opposite way of what the world says to go. And so we know this. There are few who are going to find it. And so Jesus says, now, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravenous wolves. So he's saying that they're going to look like us, aren't they? They're going to come in sheep's clothing. And I'm here to tell you, it's not the worldly person that's up there preaching something complete. It's not the atheists in the world. It's not the Richard Dawkins in the world that are the false prophets that are being spoken of here. He's not claiming to be a believer. He's not claiming to be a mouthpiece from God. It's the ones that are standing in the pulpit. They have a cross out on the front. And they're playing at Christianity, and they make it seem like they are one of the body of Christ, when in fact they are not. They definitely teach a different gospel, to say the least. Certain Christian doctrines constitute the core of our faith. I would say the central doctrines include the Trinity. You have to believe in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I believe that another essential doctrine is understanding that Jesus is God, the deity of Jesus Christ. You have to believe in a bodily resurrection, okay? That Jesus truly did die and was raised from the dead. You have to believe in the atoning work of the cross. That Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. It was his blood that takes away our sin. And there's no other name in which man can be saved except through the person of Jesus Christ. And it's salvation by grace alone, through faith alone. And so these doctrines are very essential to the Christian faith. And then you have the non-essentials. You have the peripheral non-essential doctrines that could be the timing of the rapture, the timing of the tribulation, the method of baptism, structure of church government. We might disagree on the identity of the spirits in prison in 1 Peter 3:19 and things like that, and that's okay. We have the central doctrines. We have the essential doctrines intact, and because of that, we are all going to be saved and be around the throne room of God. But when you start to mess with the salvation in the person of Jesus Christ alone. When you start to mess with the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ, when you start to mess with the very character of God and the character of Jesus Christ, and when you start to mess with that, then we're going to have problems. And then I have to ask what the motivation is for that. And I do believe that as we continue on here, we're going to see there's some criterion that God gives us through his word that we could use to measure where a person is coming from through greed, through lewdness. That's going to be a big one, okay, of what lewdness means. And then when you see somebody acting so lewd, you kind of go, that's a false prophet right there. And we'll be able to see that. I don't know if it'll be tonight. It'll probably be next week, but we're going to see that as well. So in Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 17 through 19, God is speaking to Ezekiel. He says, son of man, I want you to know something. I've called you to be a watchman. And if you're going to be a watchman, and yet the enemy is going to come, and you do not sound the alarm, blood is going to be on your hands. And so in verse 17 of Ezekiel 3, it says, son of man, I've made you watchmen for the house of Israel. Therefore, hear a word from my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Yet, if you warn the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. So, going back to Matthew 7, verse 16, he says this about the false prophets, but inwardly the ravenous wolves. But he says, but you will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? The answer is no. Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down, thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Now, to begin chapter 7 here, it says, judge not lest ye be judged. And I love that. I love when people say, oh, you're judging me. You're not supposed to judge. And nowhere in God's word say you're not supposed to judge. You're not supposed to judge towards condemnation, but you're supposed to judge for identification is absolutely true. You know, and so we have to make a judgment to find out if fruit is good or bad, okay? A judgment is required there. And so it can't mean that you don't make any judgment whatsoever. You have to make the correct judgments according to God's word. And he says, when it comes to false prophets and teachers, you need to make a judgment. You need to have some sort of discernment. And you need some sort of criterion to find out if they're a false teacher or not, okay? If they're a false teacher or not. And I would say, it needs to measure up to God's word. If what someone is teaching does not measure up to God's word, you kind of go, I don't need to listen to them anymore. And we're not talking about, we're talking about sin. We're talking about atonement. We're talking about how God views us, how we view God, things like that that are very, very important. In Matthew 23, some people would like to point out, you know, it's kind of mean-spirited to name a person as a false teacher. Aren't you judging, blah, blah, all this kind of stuff. I said, well, Jesus named names. You know, Matthew 23, Jesus calls the scribes and Pharisees what? Hypocrites. You know what else he called them? Brood of vipers. You snakes. You low-life. There's nothing lower in life. Nothing gets lower to the ground than a snake. You're a bunch of low-lifes. And you're a bunch of snakes. Is what he says. John the Baptist also called the Pharisees a brood of vipers. Paul names names. In 1 Timothy 1:18, this charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, having faith, a good conscience, which some, having rejected concerning the faith, have suffered shipwreck, of whom Hymenaeus and Alexander, who I am delivered to Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. He names two guys right there. Later on, he says, Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. You also must beware of him. He has greatly resisted our words. So not only, I'm telling you who Alexander is, you beware of him as well, he says. So he calls him out, John the Apostle. John said in John, in the third epistle of John, he says, I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves having preeminence among them, does not receive us. Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds which he has done, prating against us with malicious words, and not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren and forbid those to wish putting them out of the church. And so the Apostle John, he totally calls out Diotrephes. Here's a guy that doesn't like to play second fiddle. He wants preeminence. He doesn't receive the brethren. It's all about him and his followers. And so he keeps out the rest of the body of Christ. Here's a guy that's full of pride. He wants to be the head honcho. He wants to have preeminence. And so John calls him out. This is what all false teachers do. They teach something different. They teach things contrary to the apostles' doctrine. I want you to go to Jude. I'm not going to tell you what chapter. You're going to have to figure that out. Jude is right before Revelation, last book of the Bible. And Jude is reminding the church that even in his day, just like it is today, he says in verse 4, for certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turned the grace of our God into lewdness. You should have that underlined. You should have it highlighted, because we'll look here in a moment what lewdness means. And deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. The emergent church is that way, by the way. You can just put off to the side the emergent church. They are very lewd. They deny only the Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. They even deny the Brian McLaren, as I'll quote probably next week, questions the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He wants to know why. I don't even know why Jesus had to die, is what he says. And you just go, wow, here's the reason why you don't know. You don't read your Bible. That has a lot to do with it. So keep your finger here, but I also want you to go to Acts chapter 20 so you can read this with me. Paul warned about this in the book of Acts, speaking of the Ephesian elders. He said to them as he was leaving, he spent about 3 years at the church of Ephesus there. And in Acts chapter 20, verse 26, it says, therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore take heed to yourself and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. So among you, not outside among you, much like Jesus said, they're in sheep's clothing, but they're really ravenous wolves, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up speaking perverse things. So lewdness, Jude says, here it's perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. I would suggest to you, when you hear of a preacher or a minister who is saying that they have the anointing of God, and then you find out that they're involved with very perverse and lewd things, this is what it's speaking of right here. The word perverse here is a very interesting word. It's diatropho, and it means to distort. It means to misinterpret. It means to be twisted is what it means. It means to make crooked, corrupt, misleading, perverted. And so they're going to twist. They'll twist the word of God. They'll take things out of context. And it will lead to very bizarre and lewd and weird behavior. Very weird. The signs and wonders, this mystical group that John Crowder is part of, not David Crowder. David Crowder is a wonderful worship leader. Okay, let's make that clear. This bozo is by name of John Crowder, and he's leading this weird signs and wonders movement. And there's videos of him where he's embracing the bosom of Christ to suck out the milk of his glory. That's lewd. It's perverse. He has a huge following, and it's been going on for almost 10 years. and they just go weird, nutso, crazy, drunk in the spirit stuff. And it's absolutely perverse and lewd. And it's sucking the young people away. And they are just falling to this. The Bethel Church in Redding, California, all about this. We'll get more into that next week. It's lewd, it's crude, and it's perverse. And it's absolutely ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. Go back here to Jude. Verse 10 says, "But these speak evil whatever they do not know. Whatever they know naturally, like brute beasts, and these things they corrupt themselves. Woe to them, for they have gone the way of Cain, have run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit, perished in the rebellion of Korah." Every single false teacher falls under one of these three, or maybe all three. You have the way of Cain, the error of Balaam, the rebellion of Korah. The way of Cain is the attempt to please God through your own works, by your own human efforts. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the way is the way of death, the Bible says. Hebrews 11:4 says, "By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. Through it he, being dead, still speaks." Romans 10:17, "So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So you might recall back in Genesis chapter 4, you could read that on your own, verses 1 through 7, how God is expecting them to bring a sacrifice, Cain and Abel, and Abel, you know, brings the correct sacrifice of a lamb, and Cain brings the produce of the earth. Well, we're told here in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the only reason that God gets mad at Cain is because Cain obviously had heard and chose not by faith to do what it is he knows he's supposed to do. And the only way that Abel can respond by faith is that he heard the word and did it. They both heard the word. One did it, one did not. Hence, the one who did it had faith because he believed God. God said, "Bring this sacrifice." Abel believed him, did it. That's why it's accounted to him as faith, because that's what faith is. You hear and you do. I hear what God says, I believe him. That's faith. And so now I'm going to walk accordingly to what his word says. Cain did not. I'll bring what I want to bring. This is the best that I have, but that's not what I asked. Well, so what? This is what I want to do. Wow. That's the way of Cain. I want to do what I want to do. And we're going to see many of the false teachers do that. And what you're doing is you're rejecting God's atoning sacrifice, which that lamb professed to be. And again, we're going to see that the error, one of the errors that the emerging church has, is exactly that. We want to interpret God's word the way we want to interpret God's word. We want to redefine the Bible. Culture has changed, and because culture has changed, we want to look at it through the eyes of our new culture, because everyone has a story, and we need to view the word of God through each individual story. Instead of going, no, I understand that culture changes, but that's what's so great about the word of God. The word of God is there to change the culture. Amen. The culture isn't there to change the word of God. So it's a huge error that the emerging church goes in that direction. Then we have the error of Balaam for profit. You might recall in Numbers chapter 22 through 24, we're told that Balaam was a prophet. As the children of Israel were in the wilderness on their way to possess the promised land, Balak, who was the king of Moab, saw the multitude in the desert, saw them as a threat to his people. So he sent for Balaam the prophet. And he asked him, because he knows that the words that Balaam says comes to pass. And he asked him, he says, "Look, I will pay you really well for you to look over the people of Israel and to cast down a curse upon them." And when you read this account, you find that Balaam goes and inquires of the Lord. The Lord says not to go with these men. Don't do it. So that tells me that he is an actual prophet of God. Not just a prophet of any God, but a prophet of the one true God. He goes to inquire of the Lord. And he says, don't go with these men. The men leave, they come back with a better offer. So Balaam goes again to the Lord. Lord tells him to go with the men. Then he meets Balak, the king of Moab, three times. Balak brings Balaam up on a hill, offering him silver and gold to honor for himself. And yet when Balaam tries to curse Israel Instead, only blessings come out. Then we're told in Revelation 2:14 that Balaam could not curse God, could not curse Israel. And so because of that, he puts a stumbling block before Israel. Because he basically goes, look, I'm not going to be able to curse the people. But here's something Balak, you can do. Send your really hot women down there, and they will play the harlot, and then God will have to punish his people. Wow. How evil and wicked do you have to be that you know God so well, and you know what he's going to do because what he expects of his people. But this is where Israel has always struggled and, you know, and things like that. And so this is what you could do, and then God will get them. And there's nothing better than that. I don't care what kind of, this would be the best thing to do. Wow, a stumbling block. And why does he do that? Because he cares more about getting paid than obeying God. He cares more about money. Balaam, for money and greed, he sold them out. As we could see from Balaam, he had no loyalties even with God. He cared only about himself, and he was willing to suppress the truth in order to increase his income. The false teachers that you will see always pleading for money. I will send you this prayer cloth. If you will send in this, I will do this for you, and you can get all my CDs and how you can have wealth and health and, you know. And it's always about the money. It's all about the money. In 2 Peter 2:15, we see that Balaam was merchandising for your gift for money. It was greed, pure and simple, was Balaam's God more than anything else, and it leads to false ministry. And I think that that speaks today of the health and wealth, the prosperity gospel. And then you have the rebellion of Korah. Korah's rebellion was because of envy. I actually want you to go there. I want you to go to Numbers chapter 16. Numbers chapter 16, verse 1. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, with Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and the sons of Peleth, the sons of Reuben, took men. And they rose up before Moses with the sons of children of Israel, 250 leaders of the congregation, representatives of the congregation, men of renown. They gathered together against Moses and Aaron and said to them, "You take too much upon yourselves, for all the congregation is holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Why then do you exalt yourselves above the assembly of the Lord?" Okay, in Exodus 28, verses 1 and verse 41, God makes it very clear that he's the one that chose Moses and he's the one that chose Aaron and his sons to be priests. God's the one that chose. They didn't lift themselves up. God's the one that put that anointing upon them. And so when Moses heard it, he fell on his face, and he spoke to Korah and all his company, saying, "Tomorrow morning the Lord will show who is his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near to him. That one whom he chooses, he will cause to come near." Which I think is pretty amazing. So Korah's rebellion is pretty much because of envy. Who made you boss? God. Moses. Who made you the big cheese? I have just as much right as anyone else to determine the direction of the nation. And because of his rebellion, his envy, Korah leads this rebellion that led to the death of thousands of people. Neither death nor
even life. We're out of time for today's Wednesday edition of Abiding in the Word. Tune in tomorrow as Pastor Dave continues the series, Hard Questions, Solid Answers. If you're in Castle Rock or the surrounding area, we'd love to have you visit. You'll find us right near the actual Castle Rock on the corner of 5th and Woodlands. Our weekend services are Saturdays at 5 p.m. and Sundays at 8:30 a.m. as well as 11 a.m. High schoolers will meet during the 8:30 service and junior high students during the 11 a.m. service. Childcare is available during all our weekend services. You can also join us for a barbecue and Bible study on Wednesdays at Rhyolite Park, located right here in Castle Rock. The barbecue will begin at 5:30, and then worship and the Word will begin at 6:45. Please be sure to bring a side dish to share. And for young adults, our Arise Ministry meets every Friday night at 6:30, right here at the church. For more information about us or this radio ministry, please visit our website at calvarycr.com or download our free mobile app from the Apple App Store or Google Play. You can also call the church office at 303-663-2514. We appreciate you spending time with us today. Until our next time together, we encourage you to always be abiding in the Word of God.